In June, Kansas City had more than 3 killings every 4 days. Since our announcement on July the 8th, that rate has been reduced to fewer than 3 killings every 5 days. Our clearance rate, that is the rate of homicides that are solved and referred to a prosecutor, has increased from 34% on June 1st to 45% today. There is much to be done, but to use the parlance of our day, we are flattening the curve. But this is not about numbers. This is about people. People like Legend, who survived heart surgery as an infant, only to be killed by a criminal. His life mattered. It's about people like 8-year-old Brian Bartlett, who was killed in his sleep last August. His life mattered. I know what it means to be the victim of gun violence. When I was 5 years old, I saw my mother shot in a robbery attempt. Violent crime is terrifying. It destroys people, and it destroys communities, and it has to stop. We must have the rule of law. We're grateful here in Kansas City to have these additional resources, and we are gratified to see Operation Legend expand to other cities, represented by my colleagues behind me here. It's now my privilege to introduce the Attorney General of the United States, the Honorable Bill Barr, to talk about the impact Operation Legend is having across the country. Attorney General.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, Tim, and good morning, everyone. And I'm pleased to be here in Kansas City this morning to give you an update on Project Legend, Operation Legend, one of the most significant law enforcement operations in the Department of Justice. And I'd like to thank Chief Smith, the Chief of the Kansas City Police Department, for his superb leadership and for hosting me today. We launched Operation Legend in Kansas City, and one of the key factors in that decision was that we were working with a superb police department and outstanding police leadership. 3 weeks ago, we've substantially expanded Operation Legend, and we are now underway in 9 U.S. cities. As Tim mentioned, the operation is named for Legend Taliaferro, a 4-year-old boy who was shot while he was asleep in his apartment. For us, Legend is a symbol of the many hundreds of innocent lives that have been taken in the recent upsurge of crime in many of our urban areas. His life mattered, and the lives of all of those victims matter. His name should be remembered, and his senseless death, like those of all the other innocent victims in this recent surge, should be unacceptable to all Americans. Through Operation Legend, the federal government has dispatched to the 9 cities, these 9 cities, more than 1,000 additional agents to work shoulder to shoulder with our state and local partners. And when I say shoulder to shoulder, I mean literally. I just had the pleasure of visiting the Kansas City Police Department and meeting the homicide squads, the 4 homicide squads, and the 2 assault squads, and visiting with them, the Kansas City Police detectives on those squads, but embedded with those squads are FBI agents, DEA agents, and ATF agents, working literally shoulder to shoulder with them to crack these cases. Here in Kansas City, for example, there are 185 additional agents from the FBI, DEA, ATF, and the U.S. Marshals. Also, to support this operation, we've allocated $78.5 million in grants and other funds made available to our state and local partners. These grants, for example, go to support additional police positions. In some states, we have used them to hire more prosecutors. And we have also used them, these funds, to bring to bear some improved technology to help us solve these crimes, particularly in the area of firearms crimes. We saw one result of those efforts last week when Kansas City police arrested the suspected murderer of Legend. The arrest was the product of very hard work by the Kansas City police and was supported by critical assistance from the FBI. This arrest will not bring Legend back, but it will make his case an example of how we can come together to take violent criminals off the street and to make our communities safer. Legend's mother and father are here, and when I met her in Washington, I promised Sharon that Legend's death would not be in vain, and he will inspire us to greater efforts to make Kansas City safe. And Sharon said that she also strongly supported expanding our efforts beyond Kansas City so that other communities around the country can be made safer. So I'm here today with not only Tim, the U.S. attorney here in Kansas City, but the deputy director of the FBI, David Bowditch, who was instrumental in launching Operation Legend. And the other U.S. attorneys from Chicago, St. Louis, Detroit, Cleveland, Memphis, Milwaukee, Indianapolis, and Albuquerque. They're deeply committed to this operation, and we have some encouraging early results. To start, I'd like to put things in a bit of context. The most basic duty of government is to provide for the safety of the community. In 1991 and 1992, first time I was Attorney General, violent crime rate that year was at an all-time high in the United States. It's never been higher. And for the three decades leading up to that year, violent crime had tripled in the United States. At that time, we made the decision in the federal government to dramatically increase our role to focus on combating violent crime. And we launched a series of initiatives focused on drugs, drug organizations, gangs, and gun offenders. And we also expanded our close collaboration with state and local law enforcement and built up task forces to go after these violent offenders and predators. And over the next 25 years, the crime has steadily fallen, and it's now half of the level it was in 1991 and 1992. That's a lot of lives that have been saved. Now, in 2015 and 16, it went up a little bit, but I'm happy that at least during the last 3 years of this administration, it again is on a downward trajectory, except for this year, 2020. While we haven't finished the year yet, and we haven't looked at all the nationwide numbers reported yet, this could be a bad year for violent crime and arrest a trend that, as I say, has been going on for almost 30 years. This spike may have a lot of reasons behind it. I think some of it may be the pent-up aggression prompted by state and local quarantine orders. I definitely feel a lot of it is due to the premature release of dangerous criminals by the courts and by prosecutors. And I think it also is related to the efforts that we've recently seen to demonize police and to defund their work. Operation Legend is the heart of the federal government's response to this upturn in violent crime. Its mission is to save lives, solve crimes, and take violent offenders off the streets before they can claim more victims. Rather than demonizing and defunding our police, we are supporting and strengthening our law enforcement partners at the state and local level. So far, federal state task forces involved in Operation Legend have made almost 1,500 arrests. I think it's 1,485 to be precise. And many of those arrests are for violent state crimes, including 90 homicides, like Legend's murderer. That's more than 90 suspected killers who might still be on the streets without Operation Legend. And in many cities, as I said, the operation is just getting started. And we make decisions as we go along in consultation and jointly with our state partners as to whether it makes more sense to pursue a case through the state prosecution system or through the federal system. And so prisoners are charged in both under this operation. Of those arrested, we have charged more than 200 for federal crimes. And that includes more than 100 charged for federal gun crimes, 21 of which have been here in Kansas City. Now, bringing federal charges is helpful because in many states it is very hard now, today, to keep violent criminals in pretrial detention. They're just let right out on the street again. But in the federal system, we have a better ability to hold on to violent offenders, keep them in custody pending disposition of their case. This is critical for community policing. We hear a lot of talk from people about how important community policing is, and it is, and good police departments have that. But the essential ingredient for it is that the community feels safe when they're dealing with the police and they're providing information to the police. And what typically happens is that where there is no pretrial detention and people in the community feel that the criminals are going to be right back out on the street within hours, they're extremely hesitant to work closely with the police. So this is a very important tool. It's a tool that the states need. But during this period with such high murder rate, we're stepping forward so that we can help keep some of these offenders off the streets. And it's also important because far too many states, the sentences are too lenient and do not incapacitate these violent criminals long enough and do not provide a deterrent and do not encourage them to cooperate once they're captured. And in the federal system, we have very strong sentences for violent crimes, and that helps us get further information from these offenders. And criminals know that. They know that the federal system means business, and we're putting them out of business of violence in our cities. Our work is just getting started. Well, let me just pause and say there have been a number of photographs of guns appearing on this screen, and one of the important developments of Legend has been the seizure of hundreds and hundreds of firearms in our Legend cities. Here in Kansas City, I think we're 78 firearms have been seized. And as you can tell, these are not pop guns. A lot of these are high-powered AR-15 type guns with huge magazines, drum magazines. So getting them off the street is saving lives. And we are using very sophisticated ballistic investigation technology to pursue more than 500 leads to solve more gun crimes. So our work is just getting started. There's no more important mission for the Department of Justice than keeping our communities safe. And through this operation, we're going to continue working with our state and local partners to do just that. So now I'd like to ask Chief Smith and Legend's mother, Sharon, if they would like to say a few words. And I'll start with you, Chief Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney General. Rick Smith, Kansas City, Missouri Police Chief. This morning as we were going through some things with the Attorney General, one thing became noticeable as we walked through our cases is that we wouldn't have solved the cases as timely as we had, and we wouldn't have suspects in custody without our federal partnerships. When I turned to the Attorney General, I said, this is absolutely making a difference. And I hope the message that's sent to our community is that this difference makes, that these arrests make a difference, and it will make a difference on our violent crime rate overall in Kansas City. And when we started this operation, I said, it's not about the agents that came here. It's about the violence that's occurring. And what we want to do is for the violence to subside. So thank you very much to all the partners who have helped us.
Hello, I'm Sharon Powell, Legend's mother. I just want to say thank you for everyone that had a helping hand into solving my son's case. And I also want to thank the community, because I know for a fact we had a lot of tips and help from the community. So I truly appreciate the help that we had. But I want to express that the community, we have to help each other with the other cases that they're working on to help solve. If you have any information, any tips, I think just go ahead and give them a call so we can help solve other murders like my son, because I know we have had a lot of children that was murdered in our city, and as a community we have to come together to help solve the rest of these murders, because this is just the beginning. Yes, I'm beginning to get justice for my son, but I also want to make sure I help everyone out that I can so we can get justice for you guys also. And like I said, I want to thank every single person that had a helping hand into solving my son's case. The blood, the sweat, the tears, I appreciate it. I thank you. And like my family, we all thank you. It has helped and lifted a slight weight off of us. No, we don't have our son back, but at the same time, we do have... we have a light weight lifted off of us, and I appreciate everyone, and I thank you.
Thank you, Sharon.
So with that, I'm glad to take some questions.
Attorney General Barr, yeah. The majority of homicides in Kansas City and nationwide stem from our unit. So can you elaborate on any federal efforts to address the root causes of crime and specific variables related to crime in an effort to reduce violent crime long-term?
Well, there have been efforts addressed to trying to figure out what the root causes of violent crime are and to address them, and they've been going on, you know, for 70, 80 years. The Department of Justice, the enforcement agencies, our primary responsibility is to deal with crime. The social conditions that contribute to crime, the fact that people argue with each other and so forth, is really something that other agencies should be focused on. Now, the police have been called upon recently to do more and more work in areas where other professions and other agencies have sort of let the ball drop. So increasingly, police have to deal with mental illness, homelessness, drug addiction. And they have been taking on that burden to some extent. But in terms of sort of broad questions about people's argumentativeness and social conditions that make it contribute to crime, the government has been working on that and spending trillions and trillions of dollars over the years on that. And one point I've always made is none of this money spent, none of the educational efforts, none of the vocational efforts or recreational activities can bear fruit in an atmosphere where there's blood flowing on the street. One of the things has always concerned me is it's always been presented as usually presented as a dichotomy, which is, you know, let's attack the root causes versus those who are actually committing crimes. And it can't be a dichotomy, because none of the efforts to rehabilitate communities can bear fruit in an atmosphere of bloodshed. So the first step, in my view, is to provide safety to the community, and that's the job of law enforcement. So far. I'm not sure. Where's Justin?
Right here, sir.
Yeah, Justin, do you know anything?
We'll have to get the answer for you. I mean, a lot, as you know, the marshals have been very active. Let me take this off, sorry. As you know, the marshals have been very active in making arrests on fugitives. And so our expectation is when somebody is a fugitive and they're returned on a warrant, we stand a much better chance in our state or federal court of having that person detained. But we don't have an exact number for you at the moment, but we can work on getting that for you. So that's a very complicated question because there's so many different courts that are in play. But we're working on an answer for it. It's a good question, but we'll get you an answer.
The one thing I didn't mention is in addition to the arrest, we had the marshals apprehending fugitives, and we have apprehended, as part of Operation Legend, over 1,000 fugitives. Most of those are on state charges. Because as far as I know, there was no federal offense involved in that. Is that correct? Yeah. There was no federal, you know, the federal code has a number of laws that if you break it, it's a federal offense, and state law otherwise governs. But right. So I'm going to ask the deputy director to comment on that. But let me just say generally what I was trying to describe to you is these are task forces where you have both state and federal officers working cases. And then decisions are made as to whether it's better to charge it as a state case or a federal case. So the federal government will assist state law enforcement as they pursue investigations of state cases. And then sometimes it's found out during that investigation that there has been a federal violation as well, in which case we sometimes charge that as a federal. But as to the specifics in that case, my understanding is that both the FBI and the U.S. Marshals assisted the Kansas City Police. I'm not sure whether Chief Smith or Dave Bowditch would address that. Yeah.
Good question. First off, I think it's important to understand, as the Attorney General mentioned earlier, we work side by side. And when I say we, I'm talking Department of Justice components to include the ATF, the DEA, the U.S. Marshals, and the FBI. We work side by side with state and local detectives across the country in all the major cities and many of the smaller cities. I'm not going to get into specifics of this particular case because it is now going to be adjudicated. What I will say is it's very common for us to all of us, to conduct surveillances, search warrants, interviews, social media exploitation, general court process and general investigative techniques as part of our task forces that are both joint and federal task forces.
Chief, did you want to add something?
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
It's my understanding that 5 have been charged.
Mark, can you provide any update on the unrest in Portland, whether additional federal resources have been brought in there, and obviously a video of a man being beaten, crashing at a protest that's gained some traction online. You know, is there any federal investigation at this point, or are any DOJ components involved in that? Can you maybe expand a little
on? Yeah. It's my understanding that we now have a suspect in that beating. In terms of federal resources, there hasn't been any significant change in the federal resources there. I think, the FBI has been providing investigative personnel to help pursue some of the investigations.
Out of the 1,500 arrests, you'll be able to have the evidence to ultimately lead to convictions in these cases?
Well, I'm pretty confident the evidence will be there, but I think one of the problems we have in the criminal justice system now is revolving door justice. And I think too many criminals, to tell you the truth, during my exposure to the law enforcement community, which goes back over 30 years, there's one constant, which is the police do their job. The police do get the suspect and get the evidence. The system falls apart in the prosecution and trial and sentencing stage. And what's happening these days in the country is we're going back to some of the old practices we followed in the 60s and 70s, where there's revolving door justice and people are not being held. They're not being held before trial when they're dangerous. They're not being sentenced to prison, even though they're violent. So that increasing number of these people have serious criminal history records and they're out on the street. That's the problem. I think if you go to most of these big cities that are experiencing an increase in violent crime and you go to the police departments, they will know who the shooters are. They will know exactly who the shooters are. And there are not that many of them, relatively speaking. 200-300. That if you took off the streets, you would more than half violent crime. That's my impression. And I'm not necessarily talking just about Kansas City. I'm just talking about all the cities generally.
You mentioned 1991 and 1992.
Well, actually, that's wrong in this sense. I think the mass incarceration has been thrown around, but I was talking about the incarceration of chronic violent offenders, violent criminals, and I hope no one is suggesting that they shouldn't be incarcerated. I think what people refer to as mass incarceration really refers to the harsh, long sentences for minor drug distribution or small amounts of drug distribution, which led to a very substantial increase in the prison population. I'm not talking about that now. I'm talking about getting shooters off the street.
Attorney General Barr, you suggest people who in the community who say that Operation Legend and things like this are an overreach of the federal government. I mean, there are people in Kansas City, including our mayor and one of our congressmen, at one point who were against Legend coming to Kansas City. Can you address those people?
Sure. There's been a lot of confusion in the media, some of it not unintentional, confounding two different aspects of law enforcement. One is dealing with civil unrest, rioting, and the other is the classical, traditional work that law enforcement does, finding criminal suspects and prosecuting them. And what Operation Legend deals with is the latter. And we've been doing that in the federal government for decades. As I said, we stepped it up dramatically in the early 90s. But working on violent crime and working with state and local government, that's what the Department of Justice does. And we've done it a long time. And what this is ratcheting it up and targeting at the shooters in selected cities where there's a high homicide or non-fatal shooting rate. I think a lot of that rhetoric came at a time when narrative, as the press calls it, was in taking shape in Portland, that the federal government was overreaching by going in to suppress demonstrations. And during that, it was in that environment that I think some people made misinformed comments about this law enforcement initiative. Well, we're not pulling out of Kansas City in September. I mean, we always will have a strong law enforcement presence here. And it's really a question of adjusting the levels of additional resources that remain committed. And that's a moving, I mean, that will be considered as we go along. As long as we're successful in taking bad guys off the street, we'll be here.
You mentioned the revolving
of the justice system. As I calculated here, you mentioned 1485, that's the number of arrests, but only 200 charged with federal crime. That's about 13.5.
No, but that's not the revolving door. That's the decision of where they're going to be charged.
Are you implying that the state and local courts are that revolving door, letting people out? Of course, we're in the middle of a pandemic. A lot of these criminals who may be getting arrested may be getting back on the street. I guess it goes back to my earlier question about are you able to track if these criminals are arresting are back on the street?
Yeah, I haven't aggregated them, so I can't give you an overall figure. But when we talk to the U.S. attorneys in the individual jurisdictions, they have a good idea of which cases in the state system are going to be able to stick. And it varies from state to state. I don't want to comment on the degree of revolving door that exists here. I don't know if the chief wants to comment on it. No, but... do any of my colleagues, the U.S. attorneys, do you have any observations about this relating to your own state in terms of how many of these things we're able to, on the state side, we can keep? Yeah.
I'll just say this. On the fugitive warrants, these warrants that are where we're making arrests on these warrants, these are violent criminal warrants, right? So these are people who are charged with aggravated assault or homicide, very serious crimes. Those tend to be cases that are good candidates for bail in any court system when you're trying to seek detention. When you've returned a fugitive to a court system where they're charged with a homicide or an aggravated assault, you got a pretty good argument for detention. Certainly in Ohio, that would be the case, which is where I'm from. I'm the U.S. attorney in Cleveland. Many of these other arrests are fresh state arrests that are made on the same kind of crimes, aggravated assaults, illegal possession of a firearm, large-scale drug trafficking. That's what we're looking at. So those are cases that, on average, are going to stand a much better chance of detention. In Ohio, really in many other court systems, you'd have a pretty good shot at detention. But I can only speak for Ohio.
Sir.
Okay. I have a question. Chief Smith. One more question.
Okay.
Chief Smith. Yeah. Chief, record pace of homicides here, low clearance rate, the federal government is here helping you. You said they helped you. What does that say about the local police efforts to clear homicides here in the city?
Do you want to take that?
Sure. Well, first of all, our clearance rate, I think this morning is around 60-some percent. So I think we're right about the national average, maybe a little bit more. I think what we're seeing here with our assistance is we're getting things done more timely. Things that would take us more time due to resources and manpower wouldn't happen as quick. And just forensically, all kinds of things, analyst staff, other things that are helping us out, make the system and our investigations move so much faster than they would have if we did not have the help.
Well, I think in terms of ATF's efforts, in terms of going after straw purchasers and other ways that people get access unlawfully to firearms, the answer to that is yes. Okay. Thank you.